Good to be with you tonight. I apologize for my attire. Bishop had asked me about speaking tonight, and I said, sure, and I was in meetings in Olympia today, and usually we dress different for corporate meetings, but we were off-site, and they were like, jeans, casual. I sent Bishop a text. I said, I did not plan well, and he said no points would be docked this time around, so probably just for me, it's just important to me that I think we come to the house of the Lord, and so I'm a little conscientious about standing here in jeans, so forgive me for that. It was poor planning. Genesis chapter 1. It's great to be with you tonight. It's always good to be with the body of Christ. I echo my wife's thoughts. I'm excited with what the Lord is doing. What a great time to be a part of the church. Amen. What a great time to be alive in the earth. I think it was Charles Dickens that made the statement in one of his writings that said, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times and it's all at the same time. And I think we live in that time. But the scripture also said that in the last days, perilous times shall come, right? But the scripture also says in the last days, he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. That sounds like the best of time and the worst of time all at the same time. It's just a matter of which side of time you're on. Amen? And I want to be on the side where he pours out his spirit on all flesh. Don't you? My wife alluded to it. I was telling her when she picked me up at the carpool lot, nothing that we do when we seek to walk after the Lord is accidental or coincidental. Your life or mine, none of us has a corner market on God ordering our steps. The scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And you and I know that if we are good men, a good person, it's not by our own goodness, it's the goodness of God. And so when we walk in the goodness of God, he orders our steps. Amen? And so I reached out to a peer of mine yesterday when I was still at work in Yakima, and I said, hey, my wife's coming over with me. I was wondering, don't you live in Tacoma? He said, yeah, I do. I said, would you mind if I carpooled with you down to Olympia today so my wife could have the car? We're just going to stay up near Tacoma in the hotel. And I thought maybe she could just hook me up with you and I could ride with you. And he said, yeah, man, that'd be fine. Sure. And so as soon as he said yes, the wheels started turning in my spirit. And I was praying early this morning and praying for him. And the first time I met him, we sat down at a table for lunch. And he said, hey, man, I got a question for you. I hadn't known him 5 hours yet. And I said, sure, what's that? He said, man, this is going to sound weird. I said, okay. I was getting a little nervous, you know, like I just met this guy. I was new on the job. And he said, do you think that, like, he sort of hemmed and hawed for a little bit. He said, do you think, like, God causes people to meet? I said, you mean like a divine appointment or something like that? He said, yeah, like that. I said, absolutely, I believe in that. He said, oh, good. He said, I think maybe that's why you're here. And, God doesn't always move as fast as we'd like him to. But his timing is perfect. And he's a God that understands seasons far better than we do, for he created seasons. And so I rode with that young man today, and as we had the drive home, the Lord knew just how much traffic we needed to make our trip last as long as it needed to. And as we drove home and just began to talk, and words began to flow back and forth, and he's a big buff guy, and he was in the military before, and just He's a man's man, got a big old four-wheel drive truck we're riding in, and we're talking, and I look over and tears are streaming down his face, and he says, "Man, in case you couldn't tell, that sort of got to me." God's dealing with his heart. I'm thankful that the Lord orders our steps. The Lord does that. He does that for every one of us. Genesis 1, verse number 11 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." You know, it's an amazing phenomenon when you think about it, that when the Lord spoke that into being some thousands of years ago, whenever that was in time, at the beginning of time, that when God made that statement and said, "Let it be," that it has been so ever since. I live in a valley full of trees, apple trees and cherry trees and nectarine trees and apricot trees and pear trees and you name it, we got it. Trees, 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 and all of those trees are a product of seed. But no man ever made a seed that would reproduce itself. You know, you can buy seedless watermelon, right? I mean, where's the fun in that? You can't even spit seeds at each other. But there's seedless watermelon, and you know, if you've ever got one, they do have seeds in them. Those little bitty puny white things, not really a seed, it's a wannabe, right? And you can plant thousands of those things together, they'll never produce a watermelon. Ever, because it's man's design. But from Scripture, we find that the Lord, at the beginning of time, said, "Let there be seed, and seed will be in itself, and it will produce fruit." That's what seed does, that God creates. Man's seed doesn't. It can't continually do that. Somewhere along the way, even if they can find a way to make it produce something, it can't continually reproduce the way seed has that God set in order from the beginning of time. It boggles my mind when I drive through the lower valley and I see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fruit trees, and I think that they're a product of something God spoke. Some thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of years before, and I am seeing the product of it still. And then I can go to Stehekin, and I have to pass through Wenatchee and up through Chelan, and I see mountainsides of trees and trees and trees and fruit, and I'm like, all of this is a product of a word the Lord spoke, that seed would produce seed after its kind. And it would fill the earth, and I would travel and see in other countries, and I see fruit trees there, and I realize they're a product of the word of God that was spoken. He put power in the seed, didn't he? He put life in the seed. You know, it's interesting to me. I would love to be able to plant seed and then go out and get food to eat tomorrow. Wouldn't that be great? Right? Plant it, harvest it, eat it, repeat. Right? Like the back of a shampoo bottle. Sort of, don't eat it.
But wouldn't that be wonderful if you could just do that? But it doesn't work that way. And it's interesting to me, if you ever have taken the time to look on the back of seed packages in a store, they give you the growing time, how much time it takes to germinate, thank you, before it's actually going to produce something. And so some seed you put in the ground, and man, they'll pop through the earth in a matter of a week or two. Others will pop through in 4 to 6 weeks. Some of them takes longer. And man, it's like, is this thing ever going to grow? There's some seeds that we planted. They started growing cantaloupe, I think, wasn't it? Is that what it was there in the backyard? We started growing cantaloupe, and they got about that big. Now, that's not a cantaloupe, as you know, if you've ever had cantaloupe. But yeah, that's exactly right. And it was only good for one thing. It was good for the dog to bite off of the plant and chew it up and beat it around the yard, because the cold came too soon, and so it never reached full potential. And so we didn't plan that well, did we? Or maybe summer just didn't hang on as long as it should have. I don't know. But seeds work that way, and we can get pretty impatient with seed, can't we? I was telling my wife after my time with the young man today, I said, man, I had so much more I wanted to say. You know what it is when there's hungry heart, when there's fertile soil, and you realize that the Lord has really split the ground open and given you a place to plant seed. And you know, you're wanting to, man, I got to get as much seed as I can in, and I want to, now you mean just walk away and leave it? Turn him over to the elements? Let the seed just take its course? Yeah. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was speaking. He made this statement the same day Jesus went out of the house, sat down by the seaside, multitudes gathered there. Skip down to verse number 3. And he spake many things to them in parables. And this is what he said. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. He sowed some seed. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had not root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up, choked them. But others fell into good ground. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold. Some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. I know we know all this. Maybe this is just for me tonight. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. I'm not responsible for the seed other than sowing it. Mine and your responsibility is to sow seed. Good seed. Good seed. The word of the Lord is good seed. Sow good seed. I and you don't control the ground. That's what I was wanting time to do today. Leave me with them a little while. I want to work on that soil a little bit, Brother Cool. Now, the Lord does, at times, use his word to dig down into the soil and break up fallow ground. That needs to happen. We need that to happen in our lives still. Because if we take the time, and we're not going to do that tonight, but if we take the time to read on through chapter 13 where the Lord reveals this parable to his disciples, he says, hey, the field where it's sown, the different ground, it really is someone's heart. The ground is the condition of the heart. The ground is the condition of the life where the seed fell. And some hearts are just stony. Some hearts have just got a lot of things going on, and so the seed can never really take root. And some hearts are just caught up in all the cares of life. And so, yeah, they receive the word. And so, right, that's me sitting there in the truck with the guy and go, man, he's receiving this. We've got to trust the seed. And I don't know about you, sometimes I'm guilty of spending way too much time assessing the ground. Spending way too much time trying to find the perfect spot to put the seed. That's not the kind of planter that we were reading about in this parable. This was simply a guy sowing seed. I just picture him walking, throwing seed, throwing good seed. Not responsible for where it falls. I just got to get seed out there. It's time to sow seed, and so I just have to get seed out. He didn't just do that in the middle of winter and snow. He recognized the timing of the season. I believe with all of my heart, it is a season to sow seed. It is a season to sow seed. There is soil that is ready to receive seed. And if I'll just simply give myself, I won't try to over assess the ground. I just recognize there's soil in front of me. There's a door that's open. I'm going to sow seed. And when I walk away, if you and I will then say, now I'm just going to pray for the seed. I'm going to pray for the soil. I'm going to pray for the ground. I'm going to pray for the stony heart. I'm going to pray, Lord, whatever you got to do, cause it to rain on the soil. Whatever it needs, you control the seasons, right? He controls the seasons. And seed needs seasons. Isn't that amazing how that works? Isn't it any wonder that he said as long? He said there would, I was looking for the scripture real quick, I didn't find it. It's Genesis 6, I think, maybe Genesis 2. It says that as long as the earth remains, springtime and harvest, summer and winter, they'll remain. That's why I don't give much stock to global warming, by the way. The scripture says there's always going to be seasons as long as the earth remains. And so the Lord controls the seasons. He made the seed, and he controls the seasons. Isn't that a wonderful and amazing thing? All he asks of you and I is sow the seed. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. And what can happen? I was having this conversation today. And as we're finishing up, the young man says, it's amazing to me. And he has recognition of the word. He's not just like raw and completely ignorant. He says, man, it's something how when you talk about the word and it's, he says, what's that word in Arabic?
Well, man, I don't know any Arabic.
No, that word for the word.
I'm like, man, I really don't know what you're talking about.
He said, you know, it's the word. In the Bible, it's like, I said, no, it's Hebrew or Greek. Yeah, okay, Hebrew, Greek, one of those. The word for, I said, like logos? No, the living, rhema. Yeah, rhema, that's the word, he said. He said, you can tell the difference. It's amazing, he says to me, how all of a sudden, he said, I got to get right with God. Seed in the season. And seed planted. You understand, Genesis is the book of beginnings. Genesis is the book of principle. What we see in the natural, we understand in the spiritual. There's so many parallels throughout the book of Genesis. What we see in the natural, we understand in the spiritual, right? Look at the pattern of light. The lesser light to rule the night, the greater light to rule the day. The principle of Scripture is that whether it's day or night, whether dark or light always rules. That was God's design. That's a spiritual principle that we see in the natural. Scripture, the seed in the natural, God designed it to continually reproduce. For all of time, as long as the earth would remain, seed would continue to produce. And so thousands of years later, you and I can grab an apple off of the shelf at Fred Meyer or off of a tree in Yakima, and we can eat it because God set something in motion thousands upon thousands of years ago with his word. How much more in the spiritual? Could you or I plant a seed? And I and you may never see it come to fruition. I know I'd like to, and I love it when I get to. And so do you. What farmer doesn't like to see the result of what he planted? But I'm sure that the trees I eat apples off of, somebody else planted that probably never saw the fruit that I'm eating. What word could you plant? What seed can you sow? I pray, God, arrest my mind. Capture my thoughts and let the mind of Christ fill my life. And give me a recognition around me to soil everywhere. Soil everywhere. And let me sow seed. Let me sow seed. Relieve me, God, of the personal pressure I'd put on myself to try to determine whether the ground can receive it or not. Deliver me, Lord, of the overanalyzation of whether the ground can process it or not. And simply give me a heart and a work ethic to sow seed according to the leading of your Spirit. You understand, God isn't trying to put his thumb on us and say, okay, you need to do this work. There's a spiritual leading that comes from him to sow seed. And the more aware I become of ground, it's amazing how that works. The more aware the Holy Ghost can make me of ground, the more opportunity I recognize there is to just sow seed. I want to be aware, don't you? I want to sow seed, don't you? And I want a heart that can continue to receive seed. I'm almost done. My grandfather had a 2-acre farm, He had a 40-acre farm. He had a 2-acre garden. It was a big garden. I guess he thought he had 7 kids. I need a big garden. But he was from the time when he would take 10% of all of his crop as well and give it away. And so he planted extra so he'd have extra to give. There's probably another message in that somewhere along the way too. But he had this 2-acre garden. And so every once in a while when I was a little boy, I remember going with him to the garden. My grandmother would complain till her dying day, literally, almost. She would complain to me about that garden. I don't know why your grandpa put that garden so far from the house. My wife and kids heard her say that. I don't know why he put that garden so far from the house. We got 40 acres and 2 acres right here beside the house would have been fine. He put it all the way on the back side of the... Well, my grandfather knew a little bit about ground. He wasn't just wanting exercise. He knew that place was a good place. But I remember walking the rows of the garden with my grandfather every once in a while. And it was a big deal to me because he'd give me his pocket knife. I mean, that was a big deal, Brother Nathan. That my grandpa would trust me as a little boy. I mean, you might as well just put me on top of the world, man. I was with my grandpa, my hero. He put his pocket knife in my hand. And he let me cut okra off of plants he planted. I mean, man, people don't know what they're missing. And I walked through and do that. But I remember that he would change. He wouldn't plant the same thing in every row every year. He would go through and turn up that garden. I remember one year coming through and going, I was remembering the pocket knife, and I don't know why that one sticks, I guess because of the pocket knife. And I was going to help my grandfather, and he's like, here, you're going to pull beans. I'm like, pull beans? That doesn't mean I get to use a knife. You can just do that with your hand. Where's the fun in that? It just didn't seem as cool, right? Well, he understood part of the soil required that different seed be planted at different times because of what the soil could produce. And soil left to produce the same thing over and over and over would become drained of nutrient. And so he understood the process of turning the soil and planting different seeds so it continued to produce fruit. I got to make sure I have a heart that's still willing to receive seed. I have to make sure I have a heart that, as the Lord planted everything in me he can plant, and I'm content to just produce what I've been producing all along, or is there some things he'd still like to plant in my heart? Is there some seed in this precious book given by his precious Spirit that he'd still like to plant in the soil of mine and your heart? And am I still receptive to his seed? Why don't you talk to the Lord right now? Jesus, you know my heart. Jesus, you know my heart. You know the condition of my heart. You know the need of my soil to be turned. You know the soil of the earth all about me and the need of it for seed. You are the creator of the seed. You hold the seasons, God. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I pray the ministry of your Spirit in our lives, God, to receive seed and to sow seed. To trust you with the seasons and all of them. To trust you with the seasons of our life because you know the seed that you've already planted in our hearts, O Lord. To trust you with the seasons and lives where we've planted seed and maybe grown impatient or doubted your word. Renew our faith again in the seed of the word of God. Renew our confidence in your ability and your power that controls seasons. You are the Lord of the harvest. You are the Lord of the harvest. You are the Lord of the harvest. I trust you. I look to you. I hope in you. I lean upon you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's some of you here tonight. Recently in your spirit, the Lord has planted seed. Recently in your spirit, the Lord has planted seed. And in human rationale, you're trying to understand and decipher and reason out the planting of the Lord. If you'll trust the Lord, trust his word, trust his seasons, don't reject seed, lay hold on it, trusting the word of God and the planting of the Lord, the seed will produce fruit in its season. The seed will produce fruit in its season. It's easy to lose hope in seed that you know has been planted years ago, but he controls the seasons. He controls the seasons. And in due season, if you'll faint not, the seed will be productive seed. He's the Lord of the harvest. He controls the season. His timing is perfect. His way is perfect. You can trust the one who spoke seed into existence. You can trust the one who holds the season in his hand. You can trust him because he holds your heart, the soil, in his hand if you let him. Don't reject the seed of the word of God. Lay hold on it. Lay hold on it. Trust him and his working in it. Don't despise the seasons. They're his plan, his working to produce fruit. It's the design of the Lord of the harvest. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Praise God. I'm kind of consumed with planting lately. Built a little greenhouse in the backyard. And I can't wait till spring. I'm planting seeds now. Now, some of them might not make it. I just want to grow some things. I want to grow a dogwood tree. I want to grow a red maple. Do you know it'll take possibly a year and a half for a red maple seed to germinate? Planted them this afternoon. I'm going to date the stick. Why don't you stand?